It is 65 right now with the very well spring dressed Greg Zabitz, Coldwell Banker, Heart of America.
Friday Hawaiian Shirt Day.
Yeah. Is it Friday Hawaiian Shirt Day for Coldwell Banker?
No, just for me.
Oh, okay. Because you look like the type of realtor I want to talk to. A man who's getting it done, he can dress like this.
I go rogue.
Your clients love you. This segment sponsored by Greg Zabitz, Coldwell Banker, Heart of America Realtors. So tell me what's on your mind when it comes to real estate.
Oh, it's been great. We're selling stuff. We're listing the heck out of things.
We like to hear that. And it means more choices.
Yeah, and it's efforts that, you know, you put in stuff 2-3 months ago, and then stuff comes up, you know, this month and next month. It's a long-term thing, but just listed one at 1620 Martin Luther King. Really nice zero lot line where it's 2, 2, and 2, you know, they're attached.
Yep.
It's a walk-up, so it's sort of bi-level, so you go up the steps, go in, you go up or down. So it's sort of, everything's above ground. The garage and the lower level is at ground level. Two bedrooms up, one bedroom down, family room down, living room up, fireplace. Really nice for $124,900. Good price for out there.
That's always the perfect first-time home buyer opportunity when you don't have to mow the lawn if you've got a homeowners association that does that.
This is nice because it doesn't have the homeowners association, so there's no fees.
Oh, okay.
So, but the lawn, I mean, because they're attached, you've got like a 50-foot wide yard. So you can do it like
with a weed whacker,
New York Minute type thing.
Okay.
The other one I've got is 1817 Truman. Again, it's a split level. So you go in, and the main level is the living room, kitchen, and you go up for the bedrooms and down for the family room, which has a fireplace. $129,900. Those are both first time home buyer. Great for somebody who wants to do some of the no money down or the FHA.
We've still got all those programs that you were talking about.
Everything's still funded, yeah.
Okay, because that's a lot of money on the market that they will give you for free to start a first-time home purchase. Or, as you said, maybe haven't bought a home in a long time. Maybe went through a divorce.
After 3 years, you can be considered another first-time home buyer.
Which is, but if I was owning during that time, I have to be a non-owner?
Well, technically, if you didn't deduct it on your taxes. So if you were living somewhere where the other person was deducting it, you didn't show on your last 3 years' tax forms deductions for interest paid on finance charges for the loan.
Gotcha.
You can be considered a first-time home buyer again.
I've never seen opportunities like this, plus the low interest rates are still out.
And you can tag it together. It's something called the MCC, Mortgage Credit Certificate. And I'm not sure all banks do it, excuse me, but there is a way to have like an FHA or VA loan, which is a low down payment, or rural development if you're out of town. And then if you qualify, you get up to, and they change it every year, but something like $2,000 a year deduction on your taxes. So if you paid a certain amount of interest, you can get a percentage of that back up to $2,000 a year for as long as you own the home.
On top of your regular IRS tax deduction?
Yeah. So instead of paying the government that $2,000, you don't pay them that $2,000. So it's
I'd like to do that.
Yeah. And so you can tax stuff together. And sometimes I've seen people have as much in the past, not now, $10,000 to $15,000 worth of upfront stuff, plus get the MCC, which, I mean, it's like buy a home, get a check.
The one that really got me was the loans that were coming out without PMI, private mortgage insurance, which is an extra pain in the butt bill until you've got 20% equity in your property. And I have a hard time explaining that to people who have never bought a home before because they've never had that mortgage statement in front of them that shows here's your homeowner's insurance and here's your taxes and here's all of these things that make it the total bill. And it's if you can eliminate hundreds of dollars a month
it can
off
be
of that
expensive.
Payment, you're owning for far less than renting.
Right. And sometimes when there are loans, like you said, that don't have the private mortgage insurance, you can do it by either putting enough money down, usually 20%, or those that don't have it might have something where you can pay it up front, which is a lot cheaper than paying it for forever, because most people don't stay there long enough to get 20% interest. So, I mean, they're always going to be paying it technically. But if you pay it up front, they assume you're not going to be there more than X amount of years, sort of like an insurance company figure. And they say, well, okay, we'll charge you only this much up front, tack it in your mortgage, and you know we're going to be covered because on average they figured it correctly.
Now, Greg Zabitz, you've been in this business for over 30 years.
30 years plus.
Lots
of
real estate experience. I'm Susan Saunders, by the way. I just tag along for this conversation. And when you have people that tell you, I'm not ready to buy because you're always meeting new people. I'm not ready to buy for the first time because I don't know how long I'm going to be here.
Right.
What is that yearly range where you say, well, do you know you're going to be here for 3 years? Do you know you're going to be here for 4 years? That makes it worthwhile to buy.
It used to be, I'd say, 2 years, because in 2 years you can make enough on increasing your value of your house to pay for your closing costs, which would be your realtor and your attorney and all that stuff. Houses aren't going up as much now as they used to because it's been sort of a slow 6 years plus, way back through 2008 through 12, and then since 13, 14, 15, 16 just haven't really gone up a whole lot. Some prices have, but in general, the whole market, if you look at the figures, is about even. So, you know, it's not as easy to figure that out nowadays. Now, you get the right house, buy it right, get it in the right neighborhood, it's going to go up. But in general, the market shows it's been pretty flat.
Now, you've had some off-the-air stories about some competition happening for homes in town, which is very exciting for all real estate people.
Yes.
Because that means we've got people who really, really want to live here. And if the property's right, they're willing to pay full price or, heaven forbid, on a rare occasion, a little more. That's the fantasy they give you, ladies and gentlemen,
yes,
on those flipping houses shows.
Oh, yeah.
That every house is going to go up in value by $100,000.
You're going to have five offers and get 20 grand more.
Yeah, and everybody's going to pay. That doesn't normally happen here. So that being said, do we have a market that's rather unusual that we really are a seller's market right now?
It is a seller's market. Buyers are looking for certain houses in certain price ranges and can't find them. Mm-hmm. I've had one that I've mentioned in the past. I think we've missed four or five houses now where, you know, we thought about it too long and then it sells. I had one just the other day. And sort of when it rains, it pours. It's been on for a while. No offers. It's been on like 30 or 45 days. Get an offer. Negotiate it. Verbally, we say yes. It's not really done until we get everything signed, get the check. So it was still sort of there. As soon as I text that first realtor that we had a deal, I get a second text like seconds later saying, I've got an offer. I just emailed it to you. Another realtor did that. So then we're in this case of, yeah, we said it verbally, which isn't binding.
Mm-hmm.
Second offer wasn't really that good, but we thought we need to look at it. So I had to go to the seller and say, mm-hmm, what do you want to do? Here's what we're doing. And it's sort of a dual offer situation, but we had already agreed that first one ended up that's what we went with because okay, the second offer wasn't as good as the first. But that's what my job is, and I've gone through this for years. And, you know, every so often you get a year or two where you get these dual offers, and you
sure
have to know how to do it.
This
there's
is
right
why
way
you
or,
need a realtor.
Yeah, there's a right way and a wrong way, and you most of all have to be fair and honest and straightforward with your seller because that's who I as a listing agent represent.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to keep in touch with both the other agents and let them both know what's going on, that there's other offers, here's where we're at, stuff like that.
Okay. But it's not like you go into a bidding war.
Not always.
Per se.
Yeah.
You're not trying to fib and pit one against
each other.
No. You're telling them the truth
right
as to where you're at, but that gives them incentive to make a better offer.
When that second offer usually comes in, what we're supposed to do, depending on where we're at in the offer sequence, of tell them both, tell them to go back and get their best offer.
And then things usually get better.
Yeah.
Because it might be your only chance.
It's good for the seller.
It's like silent auctions when you've got like five
yeah,
minutes
really
left. We'll talk about the silent auction fun I was having over a purse last night. I didn't win.
Oh.
But we'll talk about that a little later on the show when we have our little food chat. I can tell you what happened at Chef's for Path.
That'd be fun.
But I have seen in neighborhoods that I know very well a lot of sold signs.
There's a
and
ton
a
of sold
lot
signs
of sale pending signs.
Yes.
So that means there are people buying. Are those people from outside of the community? Are they people inside the community? They're relocating for one reason or another or buying for the first time?
From what I'm feeling from my buyers, most mm-hmm of them are in town.
Okay.
I've got a few State Farm relocations, stuff like that coming in. I also have some people leaving, not all with State Farm, but other people being relocated with other companies. But most of the buyers.
Other companies in town?
Yes.
Okay.
There is. And there are people in town moving up. You know, interest rates have sort of changed from being as low as they've been for so long to ticking up just a little bit. Now they're, you know, they were 3.75%. Now it's 4.1 to 4.3. So people get a little scared when they go up.
Mm-hmm.
Good time of year. School's getting out. I mean, there's so many things in line, first time home buyer money, that I think a lot of people are out there doing that.
So if you're listening to the show right now on WJBC, and we hope you are, and if you want to get in touch with Greg Zavitz, it's really easy. You can always text him or call him on his phone that goes right to him, not somebody else.
Right. Most of the time we'll answer unless I'm on the phone, and then I can just, you know, do a little bypass text. Hey, I'm busy. I'll call you right back.
Right. 275-4734 is his number.
Yes.
And ask Greg when you do the digits with it. When you are, seeing this type of market right now, it may encourage some people who weren't thinking about selling to sell. So why don't we take
yes
a short break and come back and say, if you're going to sell, why you need a realtor? I know we've talked about this before, but what advantage you have as
yes
a seller using a realtor, and even though it's going to cost you some money in a, you know, in a commission.
It may not in the end. We may get you more than you would on your own. And there are some things that prove that in other markets where they've actually had enough for sale by owners and realtor-driven sales,
mm-hmm,
and they compare the two, and you'd be amazed that the average listed sold by realtor is a lot more than the commission of for sale by owners.
Yeah, because I don't see the FSBO signs around here the way I used to anymore. I think people have finally gotten the message, but we'll give it again.
Yes.
Right after this on WJBC. All right, Mr. Zavitz, the spotlight is on you. Greg Zavitz, Coldwell Banker, Heart of America Realtors. Now, you can find him online, too. Social media, Instagram, Facebook. Are you on Twitter?
What?
Are you on Twitter? Okay, as well. And find all things Greg Zavitz, Z-A-V-I-T-Z, sponsors this segment on WJBC. You're at gregzavitz.com.
Yep.
And then your new one for homes is... Search Bloomington.homes. Search Bloomington.homes because now they've got a new instead of .com.
It's like .com.net.homes.
Right.
And it goes to a site where you can actually search homes.
Search Bloomington.homes if you want to see the MLS. Now, I'll see homes in normal too, right?
Yes.
Okay, just double checking.
Yeah, the whole, everything is listed.
Well, I see anything in
it. It was just easier when people are from out of town. Most of them are coming to Bloomington because that's where most people,
They know the name Bloomington instead of normal, even though they're both fair communities to live in.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so we're going to put the spotlight on you because we've got an unusual situation where there's lots of buyers out there, and in some cases, not enough properties for them to choose from. So if you were a prospective seller and you're thinking, yeah, maybe I could just put it on Facebook. Well, that's dumb. But
how about Craigslist?
Yeah, I'll sell my property that way. I'll just put a sign in the front yard, and somebody great will see it, and it will say, for sale by owner, and call this number.
Right.
And there will be no information, and I'm sure lots of people will call. Why do I need a realtor in the seller's market?
Well, I think we can make you a better, a smoother sale, because if you're doing it on your own, unless you've done it a bunch of times, it could be questionable if you know what you're doing. I'm not saying don't do it yourself if you feel comfortable with it, but keep in mind that a realtor might be coming with an offer. I mean, it may end up going through a realtor anyway. But I think we can net them at least as much as they would on their own, because usually when it's for sale by owner, they're not taking the price of a realtor, you know, what they think they're going to pay a realtor out of that price. So the buyer is going to pay the same amount of money. But the buyer knows that, so they're going to offer you less anyway.
I didn't realize that. You mean buyers know what they're doing? Oh, well, wait. Buyers are working with real estate agents because it doesn't cost them anything.
Right. Most of them are working with an agent. And so, you know, if we find something that's for sale by owner and my buyer wants to see it, I'll call them and see if they'll let me work. And, and then they'll pay me a fee. But
what do you do, though, for a seller?
Well, first thing is we'll come out. And we do this for a lot of people before we even list it, or even if we're not going to list it. We go out and tell them what it's worth. I do a walkthrough. I don't do a lot of work beforehand because I don't want to go in preconceived like, oh, it's got to be worth this, because I don't know the house. So I go in blind, look at the house, take some notes, go back and run some figures, and come back and present to them what I think, a tight range of what they could sell it for with my knowledge of the market, for sale, you know, what's sold recently in the last 6 months, maybe 12 months, and what's currently on the market. What would they compete with? So that helps them gauge the price right. And I found that a lot of for sale by owners have talked to two or three realtors, not happy with the figures they got. So they put it on themselves. So it could be likely that a for sale by owner might be overpriced because what they wanted wasn't what the realtor was willing to sell it for.
And they were stubborn.
Spend their time trying to market something that's not going to sell. I mean, it's a business. We have to be smart. So that's one thing I always tell buyers. If you're going to look at for sale by owners, make sure the price is right, because you don't have anybody between you and that seller. And they're just telling you, here's what I think it's worth, and who knows if that's right.
Now, you've had that conversation with multiple people lately.
Yeah.
How are you doing? Are, for the most part, they're happy? Are they, for the most part, they're disappointed in what current values are for the homes? Or are they realistic?
Most sellers would like more for their house than what the market says it's worth. Most buyers, you know, it's that joke you see on Facebook where here's what the appraiser thinks your house is worth, here's what the buyer thinks it's worth, here's what you think it's worth. And there's four different pictures of a shack, a mansion, and a couple other ones.
You should also put the bank in there because their appraisal does count.
It's always lower than you think. But most people, you know, with the market the last 3 months, I was going to tell you in a second, I've got some figures here. The market is up the last 3 months, so things are getting better. Different areas, different amount, different prices, different amounts, how much you're going up or down. But in general, the market's great pretty much across the board. Here's some examples. New construction, the number or percentage of sales, in other words, how many are sold this year over last year, is up 23%. I mean, that's almost a quarter better, you know, 25% better than last year. Prices aren't up. So they're selling more, but what's selling is not priced higher than last year. But
that could be consumer confidence.
Well, it could be they're being smarter, building smaller houses, and they cost less because they can't get what they were getting in the past for some of the stuff they were building in the past, so they're being a little smarter and building a little smaller. Because it's, I'd rather make something on something than nothing on a higher price or something that nobody's going to buy.
Oh, yeah. I've seen a lot of new construction homes popping up in my neighborhoods, too. And I'm like, some of the houses were so small, I didn't think that was legal for the – I thought there would be, like, requirements
well, there are,
for the neighborhood.
Well, they're probably right at
bigger.
The minimum. Sure. You know, there's a square footage for each type of house, like a ranch and a two-story. Now, on resale houses, meaning something's not new construction, the amount of units sold is up about 4.5%, which is good. It's up. But the average sale price is up 5.5%. I haven't seen that in a whole year's time. Now, most of the time in the past, it was up 2 to 3 to 4% a year. So far for 3 months, it's averaged 5.5% up. So either higher price stuff is selling, which I don't think a lot of really expensive houses are selling, but I think they're just prices on the resale have gone up because of the competition. You know, the buyers are willing to pay more when there's less out there, and they're scared of missing it, or dual offers, and they end up paying a little bit more. It doesn't take much on a $160,000 average house to go up 5%. That's only, $7,000-$8,000. So people are getting better prices for their house.
I've seen a couple of properties where it looks like people are buying much smaller, older homes and doing a lot of work, not to resell it, but, a lot of exterior cosmetic work, and it makes it look like they're flipping it for themselves. Is that become a trend at all?
Some people are. Some people are buying stuff and just downsizing because nowadays, people are thinking long-term, what's going to happen? We don't know. Let's just either sell our big house. And I had one guy last year that sold, had enough profit from his house to buy something for cash. And it wasn't anything fantastic, but he put, everything new in. He's got a really nice little home. From the outside, you wouldn't know anything. You go inside, it's really nice. And he's happy. Kids, I think his son had, to the point he moved out, so it's just for him. He didn't need a, two-story, three or four bedroom house. Taxes are more on that. He's over by ISU in a quaint little neighborhood. He loves it.
That's brilliant. But getting a realtor, how do I pick a realtor? I know I want to pick you, but how do I pick a realtor that's right for me?
Well, you can do it by looks. No. Basically, look at a couple things. Are they online? Google them and see if they've got, like you said, Facebook and Pinterest and all those other social sites, because a lot of people look at that stuff. Also, see how many sales they have per year. I average about 65 sales a year. That's one of the highest ones in town. There are some people that do more, but they have a bigger team. I'm just me and Steve. There's some teams that have 8 or 9 people. So obviously, if they total all that into one, which they do, they're going to sell more than I am. But per agent sales, I'm fairly well up there. How many years you've been in the business? Because if you're a brand new agent, it's a learning curve. And maybe you want somebody that might know more stuff or have done it more. I'm doing a deal a week. Some people aren't.
And you know everybody. And we'll talk about that a little bit more after news, because you don't get in and out of real estate unscathed.
No.
As a buyer or a seller. And you're always going to need a person. And Greg knows all of them. We'll talk about that after news here on WJBC. I'm Susan Saunders. Hold on just for a second, Greg Zavitz, because I got to give a spring fling word. Okay,
I'm waiting.
This is a word. You'll like this because you can even text it in to win, right? Because there's no way I can cheat in this way. The computer makes it perfect. Because you'd like to win a 4-day, 3-night trip for two to sunny St. Petersburg, Florida, right?
Yes.
All right, so get out your phone, and you are going to text the word kite, K-I-T-E, like let's go fly a kite, in the next 12 minutes and 30 seconds to 518-79. All right?
518-79.
Text the word kite. You're only going to do it once per word that you hear, and we give out like 4 words a day. But you might get a text back at the end of the day that says, hey, you're today's qualifier. And we're doing one qualifier a day. You can be a qualifier more than once. And on May 1st, we'll draw to see who's going to win this trip with Greeter Landscaping and Garden Center, Susie Davis Travel, a direct travel company, WJBC and WJBC.com.
Now, people ask, does kite have to be capitalized or is it case sensitive?
It's not case sensitive.
And where am I sending this to?
518-79. So when it says, two, instead of putting your wife's name in there or my name or, Steve's name in there, instead just type the numbers, 518-79.
Okay, it's gone.
And then
I did it.
The word kite. And then it should tell you right back that you are entered to win in a WJBC contest.
Said, sorry, I'm on hold. No.
Don't tell me that.
It worked. It worked.
Fabulous. I want everybody to do the same in the next 12 minutes and 30 seconds so you too can be a winner. Hey, speaking of texting, I texted a long time ago to get your app the same way that I normally, the same way we tell everybody else
like
to
that.
Do it.
Right.
But then I was traveling and I had to make up some space on my phone and I got rid of the app, and then when I tried to put it back in, it wasn't working as well as it used to with all of the Greg Zavitz happiness on it.
Yeah, you need to delete that and get my personal one.
Then I need to do that again. So
and
I'm
to
gonna
get that,
it?
You do GZ, that's my initials, GZ, cells, S-E-L-L-S.
Okay. Two.
8778.
8778.
Three sevens, eight,
three
sevens, seven, 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 eight. And you'll get a link, and you can download a free app. And it's not something I'm going to bother you with. In other words, if you're looking at homes, I'm not going to be calling you while you're going down the street.
No, I appreciate that.
It's strictly to help you find out what is currently for sale and also sold prices on houses. So when you're driving through a neighborhood and you fire that little puppy up, it'll just show you everything around. I use it when I'm with my clients. It's easier than getting back on the MLS on my phone, and I'll say,
oh, don't get me wrong, I loved it.
Yeah, within this, you know, four-block range of this house, here's what else to help them know. Is this a well-priced house? Is it the high end, the low end, the middle? And it's very easy to say, hey, here's what's available, and then I text it to my clients, and they can do the same when they're out.
I can't tell you how much I appreciate that, because I know everybody is scouring the internet for information.
Yes.
Sometimes legally they ask you to volunteer it. Other times they are stealing it. But in this case, you're not going to be annoying with it in any way, shape, or form.
Nope.
And that has proven to be true. But when I got it off my tablet and smartphone and then I put it back on, I was like, hey, this isn't working the exact same way. So just so you know, I text you again.
Yeah.
It auto-corrected to Giselle for a moment. But I did it again. GZ Sells, as in Greg Zavitz. And he's Caldwell Banker, Heart of America Realtor. On with us today on WJBC.
And that's something I got to correct, because we're just in the process of changing from Caldwell Banker, Heart of America Realtor.
Yeah.
To Caldwell Banker, the Real Estate Group.
Okay.
We've been acquired by another company that owns a bunch of Caldwell Bankers in Wisconsin, Illinois, a couple of the states. And we've got more power now. There's like 1,500 agents, 60 offices, something like that. I'm going from memory.
So if I'm relocating, I could stay within the same group.
Oh, yeah. And there's some advantage to relocating from here to somewhere else where it's part of Caldwell Banker on both ends.
Uh-huh.
So we will eventually have all our signs changed, and my website and everything will be changed. But we're just in the process of changing that stuff over. New business cards have to be reprinted, and signs have to be changed out on all the listings.
Your office location isn't changing, right?
No.
Okay. Well,
yeah. The company that took us over built out that space knowing they were going to eventually get us. And so we were just renting from them for a while.
Are you ever in your office? Because I know you're traveling around all
the
time.
Yeah, no, I'm there a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tell people where your office is.
304 North Hershey. If you know where Heartland Bank is, there's a stoplight right in front of Heartland Bank, and that stoplight actually turns into our driveway.
Mm-hmm.
That's the backside. Drive around. There's a front door. And just go in there if you need me, need anybody.
And where are you having lunch when you claim you're at the office, but you're not at the office?
Oh, somewhere near there.
Okay.
Yeah. If you call me on my phone, I'll never tell you where I'm at.
Well, I'm working with clients.
Yeah.
Honey, that's where I'm at right now.
I'm at an appointment, dear.
I'm at an appointment, and that's when we pick up the phone and go, find a friend, and, oh, yeah, that's where he's at.
I think I've got that turned off.
Don't tell people how to do that. I enjoy that feature quite a bit. We were talking earlier about why you need a real estate agent. We were talking about how important it is because of marketing, because of communication, and I said you have friends that you rely on over the last 30 years that do their jobs well. Pretend I'm a seller. Who else might I need in my selling deal? Because I've never sold a piece of property.
Right.
Who else am I going to need besides you?
Well,
what types of people?
One of the people that is free is my assistant, Neely. Mm-hmm. We go out on stage, and lately we've been doing a lot of them. And we go out and just give them some little hints of, you know, move this, remove that, check this out, whatever. Now, that's just a service that I provide for my clients. And I don't think all the realtors have that. So that's one reason maybe to use me. The other thing is most people need some paint somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Either they painted the rooms the way the kids want them, but it's not the color most buyers are going to be looking at. You know, if every room is blue and the buyer's got three girls, you know, they might want pink. So anyway, we try and neutralize stuff. I've got some great painters. You know, depending on how much they want to spend and how many walls and how soon they need it, we use whoever's available.
Do I need accountants and lawyers and, I don't know, Secret Service agents?
Well, I suggest they have a lawyer for a couple reasons. If they're a first-time home buyer or first-time home seller, did they ever set up a will? You know, because at most closings, if they're buying a house, I'll suggest to my buyers, if I'm on that side, that now you have a house, you may have kids or be going to have kids, and you need to have a will to direct people in case the worst thing happens and somebody gets injured or killed, whatever, that they can't take care of themselves. How's that going to be handled?
But as a seller, I need a lawyer still, yes?
Yes, as a seller, you need them to do the contract and check it over. Now, we used to only do two-step contracts here. We wrote the purchase agreement, and the attorneys made it a contract. We can now write what's called a one-step contract, but it still has to be checked out by an attorney. We suggest that.
Okay.
So a seller has to have one. Buyers, it's an option, but we suggest they have one just to protect everything.
Okay. So that's adding up into all of these fees and costs and
yes.
things. So it does cost to sell a property.
Oh, yeah,
you
there's some
costs. You
need
to factor that in before you call Greg and say, hey, I want to sell my property.
Right.
There's going to be money that's going to come out of your final
proceeds,
that is going to have to go to somebody else. But I like calculators a lot, online calculators that try and estimate what's my car payment going to be,
right.
what's my home payment going to be if I'm going to buy something.
Right.
Is there any way to try and estimate what it's going to cost you to sell your property?
Well, whether you use an agent or not, everything's the same except for my fee.
Yeah, with the agent.
So, yeah, I have what's called a net sheet, and I will do it at a certain price range, and then there's two other columns I can do. Okay, at full price, $5,000 or $10,000 off, or heaven forbid, $20,000 off, whatever they want, I can run it. And you'll see the difference of taking $5,000 less. What does that change the net to?
Mm-hmm.
Most things are fixed prices. You know, attorneys can be the same, and recording fees and title work are all the same. But there are some percentages, like the realty fee and a couple other things, like tax stamps are a percentage of the sale.
Okay.
So I can figure that out. I don't know of any place online that has that because every state's different.
Hey, as long as you can provide it
yeah.
and you're not offended if I call you up and say, hey, I'm thinking about selling this property. I'm not sure I can afford it. Can you give me an idea of what I would end up with in the end if I did?
If they tell me what they want for the house, because if I haven't seen it, I can't tell them. I can look on the tax rolls and give them an idea. But if they tell me what they want to figure it at and tell me what their payoff is, I can usually get within about $100 of what it's going to be when they finally close and they compare my sheet to their sheet.
Including those extra people you might need.
Well, yeah, depending on what they need, I can get because,
like, I don't have a lawyer on standby.
Yeah.
I'm not in trouble enough.
We know what most of those things are. You're talking about painting and stuff like that, that doesn't go on a settlement sheet. Those are just side things. But, yeah, all the expenses, I can figure that out.
Okay. Let's take a short break. Let's come back and talk about some of the special listings because I know you're adding listings like crazy.
Got a couple
now.
I want to talk about.
And thank you to the people who keep telling Greg, we heard you on the radio, and that's why we called.
We love that.
Makes me feel special. Makes him very happy. And they're calling now. 275-4734 for Greg Zavitz. Back with more after this. Your weather forecast sponsored by our friends at Kohl's. Now, over at Kohl's, take an extra 20% off sales on Easter looks for the family, like spring dresses and polos and shoes and more. You'll also get $10 Kohl's cash for every $50 spent right now at Kohl's. Some exclusions apply. See the store at Kohl's.com for details. WMBD YZZ meteorologist Lauren Rainson says today partly cloudy with a chance of afternoon showers and storms, high 76. More of those storms tonight. Low 63 tomorrow, high near 80, mostly sunny, very windy, and an evening thunderstorm chance. And Easter Sunday is a small chance of clouds and rain in the morning, but clearing up, high 68. It is 70 outside. I'm in studio with Greg Zavitz.
It's a beautiful day out there.
Caldwell Banker.
The Real Estate Group.
Group is the new name. Because I've been so trained to say Heart of America Realtors, now you got a new company name.
Yeah, and I've got to get used to it, too. Got new business cards, new signs, everything.
Well, just put it on your T-shirt, wear that into the studio, and then I will be able to read it right off your chest.
Same great service. Still going to be the same.
You have new listings popping up all the time because this is a really spectacular real estate market, as we've been saying. You've had more buying, you've had more selling, you've had people competing over homes. What are some of your new listings that are super special?
Well, I checked back because I talked about two of them, just a second ago. There's two others that I got probably the day, like last Thursday or Friday, so I wasn't sure I had talked about them, but Three Turtleback. It's out in Fox Creek, 319.9. An amazing house. Backyard views of the 7th and 8th fairways. Three finished levels, five bedrooms, I think four baths, if I'm correct, four and a half.
Does it come with the furniture? A house that big means a lot of furniture.
It's, no.
Okay.
But five bedrooms, four and a half baths, 319.9. Just been on 8 days. Pretty cool. It's end of a cul-de-sac, too. So if you've got kids, it'd be a great place where, they can ride their bikes and stuff.
Sure.
The other one was on Trayburn, sorry, I said that wrong. And it's number four. I always say Trayburn. So anyway, 324.9, been on, again, 8 days, three-car garage. It's out in White Eagle, which is off sort of by the airport out there. You come around Stride Drive and
come in
off by the church there.
Because I wasn't sure where you were talking about.
Five bedrooms, three and a half baths. Both of these are large homes.
Are there people that come to you and say, I have four kids and I need five bedrooms and... I mean, not that all the kids get their own bedroom, but you still need a guest room or a mother-in-law or something.
Yeah.
I don't see that many large families around.
Well, not only the large, but if you got a teenage kid, do they want to be upstairs by the four bedrooms by the parents? No, they want the basement bedroom. They want their own. And this one on Turtleback actually has a bedroom, bath downstairs, and then the room next to it is insulated. He was a drummer, and so it's soundproof throughout the walls and ceiling. So some people think ahead when they do this stuff,
That's right.
Knowing their kids. But anyway, a lot of kids want to have a downstairs. You know, they got family room. They play their games down there. The big TV's down there. So it's not necessarily the large families. They just want to be able to split up and get away from each other.
Or you've got an adult child that's living together. I read an amazing statistic the other day. For the state of Illinois specifically, okay, brace yourselves, 35% of people's children under the age of 34. 35% under the age of 34. They're considering children up to the age of 34. 35% of them are living with mom and dad now.
I tell you, you got to move and not tell your kids where you went.
Or you just have to assume that you are going to live happily ever after as a tight-knit family.
Yeah.
And that's just the way it is. And plan for it accordingly so you can have your own space.
They're getting married later. They're buying houses later.
Yes, they are.
They're buying houses before they get married, which I like. You know, they can buy them as a couple, knowing they're engaged, stuff
Single
like that.
People are buying houses?
Yeah.
As well, because the market makes it affordable.
And I work with all of those people, so I'd be happy to help anybody out there.
You're rainbow friendly too, right?
Yes.
Just double checking. Well, not that I expected you to say no, but, you know.
Well, no, it's funny because you don't. Everybody thinks you got to be married to buy a house.
Right.
And you can be not married and a couple. I've had two guys buy a house. I've had two girls buy a house. And sometimes they're just friends. You know, they say, hey, we're going to split the costs, and if one moves away, we'll just take over the mortgage and stuff like that. So, I mean, there's lots of reasons to own it because when you rent, you're paying somebody else's mortgage, not yours.
Mm-hmm.
You get absolutely zero deductions of interest or anything on your, you know, the last deductible interest out there for now is the homeowners.
Have you ever really met a happy renter? Very rarely.
Some are very angry.
Yes, that's why it's angry renter, happy homeowner, because then you have some control over is somebody living above me or next door to me or what neighborhood I'm in, is the lawn mowed, is all of these things. I hate to say it, Greg, we're really running out of time here, and I thought we were going to get to
Not
talk
again.
A little bit about food.